This is Christopher Holmes, and this is another two-hour show under the logo of Zero Point. I live in Canada, just south of Ottawa, and my interest is in mystical and spiritual psychology and science. And on this show, we explore a wide range of esoteric studies about the nature of human consciousness, the science of the soul, the multidimensional universe. My background is largely in studies of the secret doctrine of H.P. Blavatsky, mystical Christianity, Vedic yogic teachings, Kabbalistic teachings in Judaism, Vedantic teachings, and I try to study widely within the esoteric traditions as well as modern science and psychology. My background is as a psychologist. I'm a PhD psychologist. I was a university professor for 12 years. I worked in the prison system for 12 years. Through my life, my main interest has been the nature of human consciousness. And I began to try to understand that 30 years ago when I was a graduate student in psychology. And I realized all the models of psychotherapy have ideas about awakening consciousness or bringing things out of the unconscious into consciousness. And the people needed to resolve things in the unconscious. So I became interested, what is the nature of human consciousness? And I realized over time that all of the mainstream of modern psychology and science articulates what is called the head doctrine, the belief that the material brain in the head produces human consciousness. By consciousness, I mean your inner awareness of being. But no one in science has ever been able to explain where or how this is done in the brain. And really, it's only an assumption. And the whole of modern psychology, as taught in academic circles and in the main journals, has ignored the psychology as the science of the soul, which is the original meaning. Psyche meant soul. So psychology was the science of the soul. But this has been dismissed and ignored within the mainstream for the past century. The esoteric traditions, in a way, are all sciences of the soul. And the soul is connected in the spiritual traditions to the human heart. So the mystics elaborate the heart doctrine, that the essential I in the human being is connected to the heart. The heart is the cave of Brahman, or it is the bridal chamber wherein the individual soul might be wedded with God, the God soul. Christ is said to be within the heart. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's Lord Krishna is within the heart. I have two quotes here from Islam today. These verses are attributed to Muhammad. He says, I who cannot be fit into universes upon universes, fit into the heart of the sincere believer. So this is suggesting the God principle within us somehow is connected to the mysteries of the human heart. And I say that the heart really is a higher dimensional. It's not simply a material organ in your chest, but there, underlying that is a psychical heart and a spiritual heart, and ultimately a divine source emanation, a God spark. And that there is a whole higher dimensional physics to the heart. In mystical teachings, it's explained that self-realization is defined as the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. So whereas in modern times, people in their false personalities are dominated by the mind in the head and all the conditioning they've been subjected to all through their life, through the media, through the education, and the mind is more and more conditioned and deluded. Self-realization involves the dissolution of this false mind complex and the awakening to the experience of self within the heart. And that is the basis of the mystical statement, I am. The I is within the heart. Modern psychologists and philosophers don't think a human being has a real I, like any inner entity such as that. They think you are only a pack of neurons or a bunch of atoms or a bunch of molecules. They do not understand anything of the higher dimensional nature of human beings. Gurdjieff is another person who I talk about a fair bit. He has a teaching called the Fourth Way Teaching. And in the Fourth Way Teaching, Gurdjieff distinguishes between the personality and essence of a person. And he says, your essence is what you are in your being. It is like the real you in your essence. And he connects that to the heart, and the emotional center in the heart is related to your essence. And then he says, but as people grow up and their mind becomes more and more conditioned by the people around them and the media and life experiences, and they form a personality which depends upon their conditioning and learning. So you put a child in one school and you can teach him to be an Anglican, or in another school and he's a Catholic, and another part of the world and he's Jewish, and another, he's a Hindu or a Muslim. So any person, you as you grow up, you acquire knowledge and information from the outside. And that's your personality, and that becomes taken over as your own. A personality in a person can develop to a very great extent, while the essence can remain very, very underdeveloped. You could have a person, a public person, with a very strong false personality and false ego. And in their essence, in their emotional life, they might have the maturity of a 5 or 6 year old spoiled child. This is the kind of thing we find today in regards to the psychology or the psychopathology of the elites, who are the things that they are doing to on this planet. In a way, these people have this whole false mind system, a delusional system. But in their essence, in their hearts, they are empty and have no feeling or no love, no compassion in their lives. These beings, in a way, are of a lower type. They're people who've never attained any of that heartfelt emotion for other people or for life or for your family or your nation. These people, in a way, in their hearts, they are empty and have only evil within their hearts. In a way, these elites are people who care, who have no feeling for those apart from themselves. Gurdjieff describes the mystical process of awakening as involving three stages. He says it involves awakening, dying, and being reborn. 2.5 years ago, I had really no idea of what was happening in the world until my sons showed me the movie Loose Change, exposing the lies of 9/11. And since then, 2.5 years ago, I've studied more and more on the internet and learned more and more about all these false flag terrorist events. That they're all through human history and the causes of war and all these criminal things being done within our society. And how we've been completely deceived by the whole of the media and our governments and police services and so on. I awoke to that. So that was the first level. I awoke to that. Unbelievable. How could I have been so asleep? How could I have ever believed that Osama bin Laden and his reindeer knocked down those towers? The whole thing is so preposterous. But I was asleep. I believed it. I believed what I was told, like the sheep news tells you. And then you wake up and you realize, holy smokes, all this criminality, all the lies we've been told, everything we thought was true is false. See, you, in a way, you die then. You awake and then you die. You realize, this isn't a democracy, this is a farce. The government doesn't care for us. These wars are criminal. We're involved as a nation. America is involved in criminal wars. You know, we're repeating the life of Adolf Hitler, wanted world domination, and now there's America, wants world domination. People have gone insane. There's a mass psychosis, and this mass psychosis is fostered by the media, which lie to you about everything. They're completely complicit in the whole soap opera which they've concocted for the human race. So, yeah, there's a process of dying that's involved in awakening. And the third level is being reborn. And as we go through this, it's like it breaks down that false personality in a person. And you have to get back to your essence and your heart. And one thing we need is we need to be upright of heart. That's a Christian term. Those upright of heart. That means they have higher feelings in their heart space. To be upright of heart. The Gnostic Christians were supposed to become upright of heart. We need to have courage. Courage comes from French. It means la cour, means heart. So we have to have courage to face these things in our society. This is an epic time that we live in, because these people, these elites and their crimes are being more and more exposed publicly, and more people are waking up to what's happening in America, as throughout the world. About 2 to 3 weeks ago, I was listening to a show on RBN, and I heard this most amazing guest, and he went by the name Dr. K. And I'm privileged. I want to introduce this guest, Dr. K, who we're going to have on today, and we've got a good long time together, an hour and a half almost. And Dr. K was talking, when I first heard him, he was talking about the Mumbai attacks and revealed all these things that I had no knowledge of. And then he started talking about other false flag terrorist events. And he has a book called Wrongly Blamed, and how the whole war on terrorism and the attacks of 9/11, all of these things have been blamed on the Muslims and Arabs. And the Western population has been completely deceived by this whole thing. They've been wrongly blamed. And the mass psychosis of a nation brings that nation to, you know, invade foreign lands and you know, now these monstrous war crimes have been committed. You know, there's 1.5 million people murdered in Iraq. Millions of homeless refugees. A country where there's 300,000 times more depleted uranium than there was after the Japanese attacks. What's been done to that country and the people of that country? In the name of what? A lie, the lies of weapons of mass destruction. If Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, all the U.S. had to do was look at their inventories and know what he had. What's been done internationally is so outrageous, and it's hard to imagine the human suffering. And that's just one war. Now they want more wars. There's a mass psychosis that's overtaken humankind. We're at a very critical time in human history. We need to be reborn. We need to find our hearts and wake up to this insanity that's being brought down upon us. We need to put these pieces of the puzzle together and grasp what's happened. So I heard Dr. K, and he, not only was he so knowledgeable about current events, and he's written this book, Wrongly Blamed, and then in addition, he's a Muslim scholar, and that has produced a copy of the Quran and a book on the science in the Quran. So we both share an interest in the study of the spiritual tradition. So today in our show with him, I would like in the first half of the show to talk about some of what's happening in the life of humankind upon this planet. And then at the end, I'd like to find some time that we can discuss some of the ideas of the Islamic tradition and of the Muslim faith. So I'm very pleased to have you here, Dr. K. Kasim Khalil.
Great to be with you. Hi, how are you doing, Christopher?
Okay, good.
Good to have you.
Yeah, it's wild. Life's not the same anymore for me.
No.
I find it's like you wake up and you can't go back to sleep, and so many things in life have no meaning anymore. Like,
no, that's right. That's right. That's very true. And listen, thanks a lot for reviving my interest in some of the discrepancies about the plane, the purported videos of planes, I should say, or videos of schemas of planes that caused us to think about plane strikes in the World Trade Center. As you know, I had already published a book which debunked two of those strikes, but the book did not broach much the other two. So
this is how we originally made connection. I called into your show that you were hosting on RBN brought this issue up, and you watched this series, September Clues. For people in the audience who haven't watched this series on September Clues, and it's an analysis of the media coverage of events of that day of 9/11. So Dr. K has again researched this further because he also has questions about the plane strike.
Yes,
the tower.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was a chap by the name of Joel who called in some time earlier and reiterated the need for us to all take a look at this. And I think there are people, like you said, running the world that are nothing more than spoiled brats. I love that, what you were mentioning. And so we've got these sort of the bratty world telling us how it should come down, how we should live, what we should think. And we certainly intuitively wouldn't allow a 3 or 5-year-old child who's been spoiled on M&Ms to dictate terms to us. But that's what's happening. The terms of how we should think or how we should react and what we should store in our subconscious mind have been dictated by, like you said, the lower vibration people.
Yeah.
And in this regard, to a degree, I must say that even I was somewhat fooled about those gaping holes in the World Trade Center. Now, if an author of, although we were very concerned about nuclear devices in there and this almost holographic, although they're not holographs, but the bizarre images that we were seeing on the video of a plane getting sucked into a World Trade Center, knowing that it's aluminum and it's going into a very tough building. That's probably one of the toughest buildings, if not the toughest building in the world.
Yeah, with a steel outer shell on it.
Yeah, that's just an aluminum facade, you're right, and then under that, what is it, 3/4-inch steel thick shell, and then of course there's the concrete, and then all the plaster, and then the steel core, and the huge
parts
beams.
Of the plane, like the wings would just be aluminum. I mean, they're not going to slice through steel like a knife through butter, which
for sure they're going to shear, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and there'd be debris outside, and how would it really go all, a missile could go all the way in. I would believe that. I mean, look at the hole, the gaping hole in the side of the building, and at one point you see a figure of a woman even in that hole, and you look and it's not so big, and you look at how the size of the hole, would a plane really even fit in there? I don't think it would.
I don't think so. Now, that's a very large plane, and about 160-ton plane, and regardless, everybody has a certain degree of suspicion at looking at those videos. It may not hit the conscious mind, but subconsciously, if you really think about it, you know, you're seeing a very fast-moving jet. You're seeing it going almost like the speed of sound or something. It's going very quickly. Now, that's a jumbo jet. I mean, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing an image of a very fast-moving Boeing, which we know lumbers at that altitude, and it even lumbers as the thing ascends into the air when it takes off. Then it gets to a cruising altitude where the air is thinner, and it's moving pretty quickly, of course, but it's always lumbering. And then you have this zip coming, and everybody's wondering, where's this zip out of nowhere? And then you're looking at the building opening up, seemingly kind of opening up, absorbing the entire plane, and then it seems to like seal over almost, and then you're seeing this frightening explosion, and so people would consciously automatically attribute it to the plane.
Yeah.
But I'm calling on all of us Did we not think of some bogus nature of this somewhere in our minds, that there was something wrong with these video clips that we were seeing?
I mean, the September Clues series is shocking. Like, you take just that one clip they have, what they call the nose out clip, where it shows, it was from the Fox News helicopter, and it shows the two towers, and it shows all of a sudden a jet coming in, and then it shows the nose of the jet protruding outside of the other side of the building. And then they did a micro-precision image comparison, comparing the nose into the building and the nose out, and the nose was exactly the same, to micro precision. So is a plane going to go through a whole building, have its nose completely intact, and proceed and project outside the other side of the building?
That would be impossible.
Yeah, absolutely.
The nose cone, if you're just crashing on the ground, the nose cone can fracture off very easily. If the jet then runs into a cement facade, like a part of a bridge or some concrete or something, that nose cone is going to snap. It's not possible.
The conclusion, obvious, I think, from that is, as the September Clues producers maintain, is that it was produced in the studio and someone moved the image of the plane too far, so it projected outside of the other side of the building.
Yeah, that's right.
And then within 6 to 7 minutes, CNN was showing the same clip, but they were using their cover banner to obscure what was shown of the nose out.
That's
right.
And
they covered it up and never showed that clip again.
That's right. And,
yeah,
of course, Brass Tacks has a good one, too. I don't know if you've seen that one, where if you take the Brass Tacks work on the, I don't know if you can find their website easy enough, people, just Brass Tacks.
I get their mailings, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and you look at, that's very good too. And then Ace, a guy by the name of Ace, I think his last name eludes me, has done some good analysis, in very sort of scientific analysis. So you've got several people. Morgan Reynolds then has followed up quite a bit with this, who's a PhD down in Texas. You have a lot of people who've published on the internet about the problem with the planes.
Yeah.
Now you should look at all of that, because why should the Americans, can you imagine this, the American people have kept this torch burning. So have the Brits, and so have the Australians, so have the Europeans, many others. Well, the whole world would deny them as a, you know, conspiracy this or belittle them, they've still kept it burning. And so why should we have to prove a lie? You see? So in order to prove a lie, you need a lot of people to look at this. So don't just take one thing. Start building a dossier on this. Build a file. Print things off. Build a video file. I urge you, this is the most important thing you can do. Whether Shanksville or the Pentagon, but particularly now, this is coming out so dramatically, do it for the World Trade Centers. Get every video you can, even the ones that are faux videos, the ones that might be real footage, and make an archive. Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is the whole nation is taken. Like, the CIA is taken, the NSA, all these, they're all know. People know. These people know. It's like we don't have, why are people like you and I, who have other things to do in our lives, even concerned about this? We pay billions of dollars to CIA, FBI, RCMP, all these agencies, and everybody knows that the whole thing was a lie, and
yep,
they're all complicit in it.
That's right, that's right.
I know.
You and I and Mr. Ace and Mr. Morgan Reynolds and Mr. Brass Tacks and the Kill Towners and the, you know, September Cluers, we're supposed to kind of prove this thing?
Yeah.
Now, I tell you what, I've done some more work for the benefit. Now, we've got Wrongly Blamed, which proves that there's absolute fraud against the people of Islam globally.
Yeah.
Not just with the 911 thing. We actually, in indignation, some actually eccentric or racially charged people went crazy and killed up to 20 Canadians and Americans, Sikhs, Christian Arabs, and particularly Muslims, after September the 11th. But then, as a result of blaming bin Laden, blaming Muslims, blaming Islam, saying why don't the Muslims come forward and say, condemn their religion, or at least condemn those fundamentalists, why don't they come forward and give us statements, all of this nonsense.
Which, and a lot of Muslim leaders do come forward and can't say a real Muslim wouldn't do these things.
Yeah, they're coming forward and blaming something that doesn't exist, sometimes even saying that, yeah, like you said, not only a real Muslim, but we don't agree with this type of Islam. Nonsense, because didn't have anything to do with it. So, and there's extremism in everything. Whatever you want, you can find extremism. So we don't worry about that. We worry about what happened and do it in a legitimate, scientific, you know, intelligent way. And so then you have a million and a half dead in Iraq. You have a destruction of, like we had in Cambodia and Vietnam, not just of the people, but the people, their animals, their water, their land, everything's finished in Afghanistan. It's done. It's finished. Nothing can recover it. Then, you know, you destroy Palestine a little more, since everything's under hiding now. We can go kill some more Palestinians. We don't have to worry about that too much because everybody's occupied with Iraq. That did happen, as you know, when Sharon invaded the next day on September the 12th and 13th. He invaded Palestine again. So
the day after 9/11?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. For 1 week.
Yeah, they hit it like
they
that.
They hit it with tanks,
yeah.
Everything they could throw at the people, killing, you know, a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
And, but, so you have all
another,
that.
The invasion of Gaza, I mean, it's another criminal thing.
Super criminal.
Before international courts.
Criminal beyond criminal.
Yeah.
Beyond criminal. And then of course you had Mumbai being revealed. You had the Holocaust being shown to be a fraud in the United States by several phony Holocaust authors. That preceded, and Mumbai, proving that the Mossad had done Mumbai, they had killed Hemant Kakkari. It's no coincidence that they put this other distraction and start killing these innocents.
Maybe
you know, to cover their criminal activity.
Many people don't know any of this other side of the Mumbai because they still think that, you know, it's an Al-Qaeda group out of Pakistan, like what the sheep media feeds people.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd share a few of the
Well, I will share because, you see, this is why the fraud of Islamic terror that you'll find in Wrongly Blamed is a critical part of the picture. The second part of the picture is showing that there weren't any planes, which many of us understood the Pentagon didn't have any plane. Many of us understood Shanksville, but we do have to prove this issue on the other issue that there were no planes in the trade centers. But what is more important right now on your topic is to show that false flag events are globally occurring under fraud. Now, in Mumbai, the media said it was Islamic groups. They show a picture of supposedly one survivor who is a Hindu, and they call him a Muslim. The chap that, you know, that was shown with the AK-40s, whatever, the big gun that he had, machine gun, is a Hindu nationalist. Okay? Now, the second issue, who trained him? Who started the shooting? He's just a patsy. The shooting was started in the Nariman Jewish House, which is the only Jewish center in Bombay, you know, now Mumbai, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, they started picking people off with sniper fire. And this was to create a distraction to draw Hemant Kakkari out. And then they assassinated
him. Kakkari was the head of intelligence or counterterrorism?
Yes, ATS, the counterterrorist organization. He was the chief. He and his lieutenants were slaughtered.
And he had been investigating. What he had some he was about to reveal like the patterns of what was happening in India, wasn't he?
Well, he had jailed Hindu nationalists.
Oh yeah,
who were posing as if they were Islamic, even though most of the victims were Muslims. They had a series of bombings and threatened bombings, a number of bomb blasts that killed people. Plus, there was a Pakistan-India train that was destroyed sometime before, and that created big tension between the countries because, again, it was blamed on the Muslim Students Association or some ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
When he jailed the Hindu nationalists, he then found out for sure that they were working with the Mossad.
Oh, yeah.
And they were traveling back and forth with the Israeli rabbis. So-called rabbis, who are really a front for a godless entity. but, you know, put the shroud, like Jesus had to deal with, right? Put the shroud on, say the words, but in, behind that you have nothing but corruption. They're going back and forth, plotting all of these terror acts. They
so
then
he
committed
was exposing that and opposed to it, yeah.
So yeah, he exposed it, and they knocked him out. He was just getting ready to arrest more higher-level Hindu nationalists. Then he was going to tie it to the Mossad.
Oh, yeah.
They were already questioning Mossad agents, and they killed them. The Mossad used, again, like I'm telling you, in Gaza, which is really Palestine, but like in the September the 11th, in the Pentagon, in the attempt to blow up the George Washington Bridge, which was really a would have been a major massacre, but was stopped, and which was September the 12th, 2001, in the attempt to blow up the Alaska pipeline in October 2001, in the attempt to blow up the Mexican Congress, October 2001, these individuals have a pattern of creating a terror attack and then assassinating key people. And that's what they did in Mumbai.
Yeah.
Their target was Hemant Karkare and his top people, so they could eliminate the investigation into the Zionist role in the murder of Indians, of Muslims, of Hindus, and of Christians. And they achieved it. They destroyed the investigation.
It seems, do you think that they wanted to bring about conflict between India and Pakistan? Do you think that's partly their...
Well, that would be the overriding goal.
Yeah.
That's why they blew up the train sometime previously to kill both Hindus and Muslims, then blame it on say it was a Pakistani, Kashmiri, and this type of routine. The objective, though, was to stop this new solidarity between Iran, Islamic Iran, and India. They had just a week before started to make a pact.
Iran and India had.
Yes, one week before.
So the
numerologists, the Zionists, seem to have a role to play to get us to start thinking about who we are. Because, you know, when we see these atrocities, like you, the revolution you've been through, the revolution I'm going through more and more every day as I see more of this.
Yeah.
The revolution that the American people are going through.
Yeah, people are waking up to it. I've never seen it. I was out in Ottawa last weekend to the demonstration on Parliament Hill for Palestine. There were like 5,000-6,000 people there. It was huge.
Be done with this Harper guy, you know?
Oh, they're terrible. They're none of them, you know, they all pledge their allegiance to Israel.
To the devil.
You know?
Yeah.
And
that's so,
not even to the people of Israel. Like I see on the internet, like, huge demonstrations, 10,000-20,000 people in Tel Aviv protesting their own government.
Well, they drug people from Ethiopia, they drug them from Iraq, they drug them from Syria, everywhere in the world they drug them, unwillingly, to the Zionist entity to create their empire.
Yeah.
And you have people there, too, that are tired. But I don't trust any of it, because what are you doing there with the blood pouring all over you? Ultimately, here we're dealing with an entity where if you're a criminal, you run there like Mark Rich, right? You're an embezzler. You know about Mark Rich?
No.
He was involved with spying on the United States. He was involved with major... For Bill Clinton.
No, who was he spying for?
He was spying for Israel.
Yeah, okay.
He's a Mossad agent.
Bill Rich, okay.
He was involved with extortion and money laundering.
Oh, yeah.
And he where does he hide? He hides there. And there was an individual that was, who was on the verge of being convicted for money laundering, more than money laundering, for grand theft. He wired $50 million to the entity, and he went there. So, It's a destructive kind of a establishment where, although you have people who are saying that they're anti-war, the whole environment is, for example, if you look at the terror attacks in the United States, when they caught the people who attempted to blow up the George Washington Bridge, when they caught the people who had explosives in their van, they simply deport them and they go back to Israel. Quite a deal. And you can't do anything.
You
can't prosecute them. You cannot even capture them. That's why that's such a difficult situation.
And the Israelis who were caught on the day, who were kind of had, were celebrating the when the towers went down, they were spotted and they were arrested, and they said that they were documenting it. They went, when they were released back to Israel, they said on public TV that they were sent over to document it. So
that means they knew in advance
for a month.
That means that they not only knew in advance. But if you think about now the revelations that the videos have been adulterated, that have convinced us that, you know, Muslims hit us with hijacked airliners.
Yeah.
Who was filming? Who was captured setting up tripods and filming before the explosions occurred in the higher levels? It was Israeli agents.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they had sophisticated, you know, equipment. They were taking these videos. Now, one has to raise the question, did some of those videos end up being used to doctor an airplane into and then get dropped off as amateur video to the networks?
There's so many questions, but it's like there's such an accumulation, a mass of evidence, someone would have to be insane not to realize it's true, it was an inside job. Like, we can't explain every aspect of how it was done, and there's still many questions to be explored. But the whole pattern is, it's just so obvious, you'd have to be insane not to realize it.
Well, you'd have to be. There was no plane in Shanksville. Let's back up a little bit. You know, you might want to take the most obvious thing, and you look at the Shanksville open pit mine that had been covered up. And the nice man here on television or on the internet has done a good job of showing that there was a funny groove in the pit that was there since 1993 or something. Okay. Now in that groove, it looks almost like a couple of like an airplane would have dove into it. It has that kind of look. This is not a conspiracy. This is an actual air photograph of a typical mining site, which has some grooves, okay? Now then, in the center of that groove, there's an explosion in 2001. It's a pit. Is there any wreckage in that groove? There's no wreckage. Are there any wings in the groove? There's no wings. Is there any fuselage? No fuselage. Are there any bodies? No bodies. Is there any blood for the coroner to at least siphon off the dirt? No blood. Is there any airline cushions? No cushions. Any baggage? No baggage. No.
Yeah.
There was no 767 crashing in Pennsylvania on September the 11th.
No.
Okay. In the Pentagon, you can look at all the films. You will not see any fuselage. How are you going to crash without a fuselage? There's no wings, and there's no engines. You know,
massive engines, which couldn't possibly have, because of their width between them on the airplane, couldn't possibly have fit into the 14-foot hole.
No.
I mean, it's like people have no sense of reality anymore. You know, you believe an airplane goes into a 14-foot hole. Like, it's like people are so used to watching The Simpsons on TV that they believe that's possible. You see that news announcer who said how he was watching it and he saw the airplane fold back its wings just on impact.
Yeah, wasn't that the fellow that had to kind of cover up the fact
that he did.
Jamie McIntyre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he said there's no plane here. Remember when he was doing the live footage? There's no wreckage of any kind.
This is a different fellow.
Oh, it's a different chap.
That's the CNN reporter who kind of said, there's no plane wreckage here. And then 5 years later, 6 years, he has to recant.
Recanted it.
Yeah, and. But
I mean,
but
it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that there's no plane anywhere in the Pentagon, either in the building or on the outside.
No. You're right.
And so there's some strewn wreckage. You can do that, you know. The CIA has done that. The Mossad has done that. The NSA has done that. They where they know that they're going to do something, and to fool the public, they take a bit of material and toss it out. And there's a couple pieces of very bright aluminum that have some blue and red painted on them, as if they'd be an American Airlines piece. And those are uncharred, and they're just kind of tossed out. Now, anybody would know that you'd have to have some charring, or but you can't. That doesn't matter. You have to have that fuselage. Yeah?
Yep.
And no fuselage is no plane. You know, you have to have big engines in the outer casing of the engine. Don't have it, you don't have a plane.
And wing pieces, they would break off easily, and they'd be shattered all over. No,
yeah.
It was another complete hoax, a complete hoax. It just doesn't happen. Like, I have seen pictures of what was supposed to have been removed, an engine, which has been identified as the type used on some of the missiles. It seems to me that something went in there, even though it could have been explosives planted inside. But I think it's still possible there could have been a missile.
You can't rule out the missile thing, although the interesting theory now of pre-planted bombs is interesting,
yeah,
because of the new clip. Remember that lawsuit that is going on now about her little child,
yes,
one of the PFC Gallup, I think,'s child that may be related to her lawsuit. But now they've been forced to release a clip, and that clip doesn't show anything. It's black and white, and it's on the internet. It doesn't show anything striking it like you would think, because there are parts in that. At least the photographs they're showing us show parts. We see men picking up some pieces of aluminum from the lawn, small pieces, and we do see an exit hole, which is apparently from the Pentagon. But this newest clip shows that something explodes from the top of the building up, and doesn't show anything striking it. So people do need to prove what in the world are those parts that are in the Pentagon, and also if that's real that a missile hit, or if it's an explosion of pre-planted charges.
It's so funny because, see, it's so obviously a fraud, because otherwise, I mean, they had like 80 cameras there, and they hide all the cameras and they seize all the cameras. Like, it's not like anyone ever wants to get at the truth of anything. It's always a cover-up of everything. Everything falls through. Everything they told us about 9/11, every aspect of it was a lie. And over time, every bit of it. And no one wants the truth. You see how they resist any investigation of it. It's just what the criminals do. They cover up. So they cover up. And you see evidence of all their cover-up. So it's just further evidence of their crimes, is how they cover up. Why don't they release these videos? You know, they claim there was an airplane. Let's see it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. That's true. And so it's left to you and me and all the other people to try to put these bits together, and then to deal with the disinformation artists, which are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, who will tell you a certain amount of truth, but are steadily trying to pull you down the primrose path. So it's very important that we all work together, and all of us have been fooled, or all of us have been sort of made into sort of dupes by, well, a criminal network.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. Like, some people think, oh, well, that's just kind of historic. But no, it's like these people who did this are in control of your country.
Absolutely. And all the countries.
Hello.
All the countries. Not
yeah.
only do they control through the Canada and the United States, for example,
yeah.
but they put in various rulers like Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. They imposed that on the people. The kings of Saudi Arabia were imposed on the people, and then if you resist, you're tortured, you go through all sorts of horrifying lacks of freedom in the Middle East because of these dictators that have. And Saddam Hussein was, as you know, paid by the CIA to try to assassinate the sovereign ruler of Iraq back in the 50s, and he was a hired gun for this Central Intelligence Agency, and that $5 billion bribe he was given in 1991, I think it was, $5 billion from George Bush, was 6 months before he went into Kuwait. And so one wonders if that wasn't, hey, you know what, we don't care what you do in Kuwait, here's some money, let's get a war going because we want to put our military on the Saudi land.
It's just everything is schemed. Everything is schemed.
Remember that?
The public is completely lied to. You know, about all the wars. You know, Vietnam, Cambodia, Central America, all these. You know, we're just completely deceived. And Americans think, oh, America's some big hero that's going to save the world from terrorism when they're committing terrorism around the world.
The most high vile crimes you can think of. Remember the incubator the baby incubator story that kind of swung American public opinion for going ahead and sending their children to Kuwait and to Iraq.
Yeah,
that was created by a New York PR agency.
Yeah.
And it was completely a lie.
Yeah.
They hired the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter to just tell those fibs, which she willingly did.
I mean, everything is a lie. On the day of Mumbai, I was watching CNN. I could tell from the news coverage that it was fake. Because right away they started bringing in, while it was still unfolding, they all knew who it was. And they brought in some of their so-called professional experts from their little think tanks and you know, criminal institutes coming out. They parade them out and they start telling you, you know, what Pakistani al-Qaeda group it is. It's so fraudulent. It's like a joke. It's like a soap opera.
Yes, and this is the way that the Zionist regime takes out its enemies. They create a thorough distraction, and even they will bomb a place, they will kill innocents, they'll cause some bloodletting, and then at the same time they assassinate who they're aiming at, and they've achieved whatever they've wanted to achieve. But like you said, in this case, the interesting thing is that when a policeman, when a Hindu policeman went into the Jewish center, he said, I had the shock of my life. I thought I'd see somebody looking like me. And instead, it was a Jewish guy, you know, a little bit whiter skin. He was a Jewish Israeli. He shot 3 times at me. I shot 10 back at him. And why didn't any of these guys get caught? Now, there were dozens of them.
Yeah. I mean, they have some patsies there, and people, I mean, some of them were in drinking beer in the bar before they kind of unveiled their machine guns and start murdering people. As if some Muslim person's going to be cavorting and having beers in the bar before he does something like
that. It's so, like you said, it's so fraudulent, because now they've come up with this thing that, well, bin Laden instructs his men to shave their beard. I mean, this is so vile. And then to drink a lot and cavort with women so that they're under give me a break.
Yeah. Like the Mohammed Atta story is the most ridiculous thing, that he was in a restaurant the day before 9/11.
The striptease.
He was in Florida having lap dances, snorting cocaine.
Yeah.
And
sure.
They're bragging about the Muslims and leaving his Quran there.
You're
like,
right.
How ridiculous. Yeah. People believe it.
They
believe
it, of course. You know what?
It's so funny.
They're taking advantage of a certain inbred hostility to Islam that, according to Count Boulain-Verrières, who wrote the book Muhammad back in about 1600, is the most horrible, horrible detriment to the Western people. That they've had this bias, this sort of almost pseudo hatred, he says it's been an incredible loss. Now, you brought up that beautiful thing about the heart, which we're going to get into, I guess, in the second hour.
Yeah.
But we must get into that, people, because while we have a certain image of, for example, Islam or the Islamic history, the image we have is based on the image doctors. For example, Philip Zelikow, who says that my job, you know, the Zionist media controller, is to sear information into the American. Now, do you want somebody to sear the information into your heart, or do you want your heart to be the judge? Yeah. So this is the.
Yeah, they sear it into the people's minds. That's how the conditioning takes place, in the false mind in the head.
That's right. It's in the mind and the heart.
Propaganda machine that's completely conditioned people into a false delusional system.
The heart never gets a chance.
No, the heart's lost, and then people have fearfulness, so they retract and they
sit there with this fake thing that the Muslims might do this, or you mean it wasn't an Arab? You mean there were no terrorists? You mean that young man didn't say let's roll, and there was he wasn't such a big hero?
Yeah, the whole thing. Even they made it into Hollywood movies. Wow, they deserve Oscars for that. Best mass murder of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. And there wasn't even any stupid plane there.
No.
I mean, you know, well, now, what I also did, since you provoked me, is I did an analysis of remember the Operations Northwood document that I talk about in Wrongly Blamed?
Mm-hmm.
Where they were planning to hit Cuba, but in order to get the public behind it and to get the kids to sign up for war, if it got kind of extreme, they wanted to make it look like Cuba was attacking America.
Yeah.
So they were going to put up a drone, or maybe it would be, they would fake like there was a drone. Get, you know, radio transmissions or whatever. And then somehow the MiGs were going to intercept it saying you're violating, but these weren't MiGs. These were American jets painted with MiG decals.
Yeah.
So they either shoot down a plane or they don't shoot it down.
Yeah.
But they make it look like the MiGs did it. They get some photography of this or some reports of this, some transmissions. Then they take a submarine, according to the document, which JFK nixed it. It wasn't that long after he nixed this that he was killed, by the way. So
yeah.
There were several reasons.
Yeah, he fired Dulles and, from the CIA.
Yeah, and he wanted to sack the CIA, and
yeah.
He was tired of all this again. He was making him look bad in the first place.
Yeah.
They didn't have to take the heat. So the submarine was to take strewn luggage. They actually used the term strewn luggage. And take the, not luggage, but strewn wreckage. And take this and toss it out on the waves and then bring the news media to see it, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was supposed to be a cargo of America's finest youth, Peace Corps type, you know, youth going to Central America on a peace mission, students on their vacation. And now all of that's going to happen. So it's not a surprise that we might look to see if there's strewn wreckage in September the 11th. So I did an analysis of this, and here is what I found. There are four pieces, or a minimum of three, of major airplane parts, actual airplane parts, in New York City on September the 11th after the explosions occurred in the trade centers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the three big pieces have no charring on them, and they are an engine and two wheels with the rubber intact. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you saw the explosion of the World Trade Centers? Do you think that there are going to be two wheels laying on a street somewhere with absolutely no fire or burning on the rubber, no char marks on the metal? Let me ask you that question. Now, these three pieces of airplane, they're found on the sidewalk. There's a fourth piece on the street. Now, somebody needs to analyze how far those things are from the World Trade Center in the first place. But to show that the conspiracy, which is a plot against the people, those pieces of wreckage are under scaffolding, which Morgan Reynolds and others have pointed out. Okay. Now, how are they going to get under the scaffolding?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so they produced those as evidences for the airplane, did they?
That's right.
Yeah.
These would be called strewn wreckage.
Oh, yeah.
what you do there is you've got a van, and during the chaos, you somehow, unload those there, because they're carefully placed. They're just positioned. There's no damage to the concrete.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have, thousands of pounds of metal from an engine flying from thousands of feet in the air and land on concrete without smashing the concrete. Can you have that happen?
No.
So those are the kinds of things you're dealing with.
And the other thing they found was a passport.
passport.
That's the funniest story of all. I mean, it survived the incineration of the airplane and the blowing up of the whole building, and it survived intact, the passport of Mohammed Atta.
Actually, they found it was they thought it was Muhammad Atta, but I have it here. They thought it was, and then what, because I had to go through this over and over again in my book, and it turns out that the passport is attributed to one of the other fellows, Mr. Al-Sukami, who's probably passed away a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it was somehow stolen. He may have died, maybe in Chechnya. He may, who knows, he may have died somewhere. But he does, he's not alive anymore, apparently.
Yeah, and well, that's what they do with their patsies. They use them to try to kind of create this pseudo trail of evidence, like the guys who went to the flight schools, and they obviously weren't serious about learning to fly. They just had to make their appearance, and they're paid money,
right,
and they get to have cocaine and visit the
shipyards
while they
hang out. To, yeah, sell some drugs to pay for your espionage activity.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'll tell you what's interesting about this passport is, can you just see the guy I spy? The passport has the residue of kerosene on it, okay?
Oh,
but can you imagine, he wouldn't have put that on first because it's a little bit charred on the edge. So can you see the guy with I Spy with the little cap and he's got his cigarette lighter, right? He takes the cigarette lighter, torches, it's just the edge. Just the edge of the passport has got a little torching on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little charred. And then he's got a pinstripe suit on. This is the real thing. This is what happened. And he hands it to a cop.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, now
the
I
whole
just
thing,
got...
it, see, it's just like everything. Everything is a lie. And
it's
the more you see it, it's like, how could people be so insane? Like, why can't people just see it? There's overwhelming evidence. Everything about it. You know,
it's a phony.
Yeah, completely. And they've completely deceived the American public and then gone off and committed these horrible war crimes against, sovereign countries, murdered millions of people.
To think that they did it in Vietnam and that they're able to do it in the light of modern today and get it done. And to think that anybody would be comfortable. Now, if your son or daughter decides to do it, you can't control them. But if you're comfortable sending them as they kill innocents, either we're done in this in Western world, we're too decadent, or maybe we just don't know. And I'd like to think it's the latter, and I'd like to hope that everybody takes the torch and starts sharing this. Share this show. All we're talking about is the oppression and corruption. You may not agree with it, but it might spark somebody to say, you know what, I'm not participating in this.
Yeah, people have to wake up. Like, it's like people, you're afraid of something, so you hide your head and, like, the stork who puts his head in the sand. People are like that. Like, excuse me, these people are now in charge of your nation, and they got plans for you. Who do you think is spraying you with these poisons from the air? Who do you think is poisoning your food?
Same group of mafia.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those contrails. There was a good analysis by an airline mechanic who was shifted to another project, and he's been in the business for 30 years or so, and when he was shifted, he accidentally stumbled upon something going on in the hangar, and he had to repair something, and he found sprayers in a commercial airline. Okay? Now, those micro sprayers he was concerned about, so he started investigating that because he knew they weren't supposed to be there. He found a sticker on his locker saying, one more snobby nosing around, Buster, and you won't have anything to nose around with. You're done.
Yeah.
So that's a mafia thing.
Yeah.
Where the club is making money. They've got a contract with these boys, and the airlines get the money also to spray human waste. It's a way they get... remember the old solution is dilution? They're doing the same rotten thing in the air.
Yeah.
They're taking nuclear residue, medical residue, whatever waste they've got, and they're diluting it in the air.
Yeah, it's products partly from the aluminum industry because it's a lot of particle aluminum, barium.
Yeah.
They're neurotoxins. They're implicated in different, like, breathing problems, tardiness, Morgellons disease, skin diseases. It's killing off the wildlife. Like, everyone wonders, where'd the bees go? Where'd the bees go? Like, they're being murdered.
Oh, sure.
They're being sprayed constantly.
No doubt about it. And, you know, that's a whole other thing to investigate. Probably the safest thing for energy purposes is if the American people and Canadian people form a pact to bring the criminals of 911 to justice. From there, we can take the next one, which is the contrails. We can take on the genetically engineered fiasco.
Yeah.
And we can reverse the trend. We can actually bring this country into a positive growth. We can stop the financial hemorrhaging. But
yeah,
only
it can be done. It could, yeah, if you could bring these people to justice.
It's the only way you could do it.
Yeah, that's what has to be done. Otherwise, I mean, we're headed for a fascist police state, mass murders. They got all their biological weapons now. You know, the bird flu. I mean, they concoct. They've been making
sure.
All these biological agents for, you know, 80 years. And
I mean, you're able to have a guy like Silverstein. He's able to go in and murder the firemen. Now, and the police. Now, I can't do that. See, that's why I'm telling you, we're not crazy here. If you're thinking we're crazy, you might have something wrong with your head. You have to understand that a guy by the name of Larry Silverstein was able to create a plot. He then pulled Building 7. He also was involved with detonating Building 1, or Towers 1 and 2. He knew what he was doing. He needed to get rid of the buildings. You have to understand. The motive of this, the asbestos-filled World Trade Centers, ladies and gentlemen, to the 45th floor plus, had been set for potential demolition before by the Port Authority. They wanted them down. But the government of New Jersey, etc., said, no, it's illegal. There are laws against this because the asbestos will go into the air and create a human health hazard. You are hereby, you've lost your lawsuit. You've lost also your lawsuit against insurance, for the insurance to pay for asbestos removal. You have to do it yourself. That's what Silverstein and Frank Lowy and Eisenberg and the Rockefeller-Rothschild cartel was looking at.
Yeah, an investment of $100 million to make $6 billion, you know.
Exactly, and that's what happened. So you're absolutely right. But before that happened, they were looking at having to reconstruct the building for yet another reason. Not very many people know this, but there was some metal upon metal corrosion that was calling for the building to be dismantled by the year 2020.
Oh.
So the buildings eventually had to be taken down.
Yeah.
Now,
a monstrosity for him, really.
So these criminals were more than happy to risk their own civil servants to achieve their lust for more and more.
Isn't that unbelievable, eh? It's so absolutely tragic. And there you have all those police and emergency services and firemen going into those buildings, you know, risking their life, you know.
And they made them go back! When those people in the second building saw the first building get hit, they said, well, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
and I want to know who's doing the research to find out what criminal group, A, B, and C, made the announcements to force the people to stay back in those buildings.
Yeah.
And when they called on his cell phone, some of those guys that were caught, 80 of them were still up there once that second explosion occurred in the South Tower was the number one number, okay. And they called their dad or whatever, he called up his relative and said, I wished I would have listened to my instincts and ran when the other building got hit. Now what do we do? And he's talking to his father, and then the building implodes and you hear the poor soul screaming.
It's unbelievable that they get away with it. I can't believe that being a fireman or a policeman in New York City and knowing that they just murdered 300 of my friends and my family. And then just to accept a gag order by these criminals.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Where's these people head at? These people are so severely traumatized by what happened to them. That's the problem. that they're immobilized, they're impotent, kind of. They can't, you know, they can't psychologically get their mind around it. And I mean, it's natural. Like, where's the anger? Yeah, I would be outraged.
Where's the indignation is right.
Yeah.
I mean, here you have the murderer in hand. You know Larry Silverstein is a murderer. You know that he is lying to cover his murder, that when he said, I told them to pull it, and then he told a second lie. First of all, he said, I needed to pull that building, in so many words, on PBS, right?
Well, he kind of said, the fireman said, there's been such a tragic loss of life, we thought
right.
We'd pull the building.
He said, he said he was going to pull it, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
But then he followed it with another sentence saying that the fireman decided to pull it.
Yeah.
Well, the fireman had nothing to do with it. Remember on the street they said, that building's going to come down, we're supposed to get out of here. And they were given the order to get out. That was not the fireman. That was Silverstein. Okay,
and
now,
then once again, there were bombs in that building even before it was brought down, and they had other motives. Like, the whole 9/11 event, it's not that there's just one motive. They have multiple motives taken out at the same time. Like, they wanted an excuse to galvanize America for the invasion of the Middle East.
Which was the biggest reason.
That was the biggest. And then on a lesser scale, they had the Twin Towers. They were a monstrous...
Albatross.
Yeah, so it all, there's multiple reasons. They got rid of building number 7, which had all the investigations of all the Wall Street crimes being done. You know, there's multiple reasons. They hit part of the Pentagon that had the materials for the loss of $2.3 trillion.
Yeah, to distract from the theft of that 2.3. Yeah,
you know, the whole thing. I mean, they got there are multiple simultaneous motives for different people.
And then when the army entity that is on that side of the Pentagon published in the, I think it was the Washington Post on September the 10th, 2001, that the Zionist regime is capable of launching a terror attack against the U.S. military and making it appear like an Arab thing, and that they're ruthless and cunning. That was September the 10th.
Wow.
That was the side of the Pentagon that got blown up.
They made that as a statement.
Yeah, it was a 62-page report that the U.S. military issued and was summarized in the Washington Post on September the 10th.
Yeah.
The United States
wow.
government said, the Mossad is ruthless and cunning and is capable of launching a terror attack against American citizens.
Wow. They said
making
that.
It appear as if it's Arabic.
Wow.
And so now you have that, which is the, you know, the fear of that being more evolved. You have the, like you said, the need, as the Payne Act document says, the Project for the New American Century, Wolfowitz, Zockheim, Pearl, Faith, Abrams et al., Shulsky et al., which is that we need a galvanizing act in the United States, a Pearl Harbor-like event that will you know, motivate the American people to wave the flag and to move towards global war.
Yeah. And now it's come out that Pearl Harbor was another of their frauds.
It was another fraud.
They knew ahead of time and just sacrificed those sailors.
Precisely.
It's so unbelievable.
This communistic, socialistic, fascist, dictatorial regime is here.
Yes,
we don't have
is.
To look anywhere else. It's in Canada, too.
Yeah, it is.
Know? And so here we have the murderer in hand and his cohorts, like Eisenberg, the head of the Port Authority, and therefore the Rockefeller cartel, and therefore the Rothschild cartel, and the Oppenheimers, and the Warburgs, and the Harrimans, all involved in this plot against humanity.
And so many plots, like, there's all these terrorist events, and simultaneously there's all these, their absolute looting of the people of the United States through all this Wall Street financial fraud.
Well, you know, Madoff, if you or I did any of that, we'd be locked down real good.
Yeah.
We wouldn't, our passport, whatever, everything would be taken, right? This guy, because he's part of the club, and because he's being protected by the Israeli judiciary, he not only takes that money, but he launders it to the Zionist entity, my friend. That's where the money went.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see the proof of that when they let him alone, instead of imprisoning him, He then took whatever $200 or $300 million that was left and started buying rings, jade jewelry, and writing checks to his fellow world Jewry. He was going to liquidate the rest of that $200 million to his club. Wow. And he started doing it.
Yeah.
He's still able to do it.
Yeah. No, it's so disgraceful. It's like there's absolutely no justice in the world. You know, there's no justice. The police don't serve humankind anymore. You know, military don't. None of them are obeying their oaths of honor, to protect the country against enemies, foreign and domestic.
It's all a phony.
We've been brainwashed into thinking that the enemy was foreign, but really, it's within our own society. It's these people within our own society. You know, they've created this delusional system, this whole false consciousness, this belief in Muslim terrorists.
Yes,
you know,
true. It's all a phony.
It's a complete fraud.
It's a complete, absolute fake. Bin Laden had nothing to do with it. There were no Muslims involved. No Islamic groups had any foreknowledge. They would be afraid to do it anyway. They would go to hell if they did it. There were people of all kinds in those trade centers, regardless, Jews and Christians and Muslims. And there were people from every nation represented, diplomatics and their associates and assistants and secretarials. There was a paucity of two groups in the World Trade Center who died. These were the high-level executives. There were very few, if any, of those who died, and, you know, compared to what could have happened.
And they had foreknowledge, some of them, and they'd moved
out. They were sitting there at Offutt Air Force Base and with Warren Buffett, many of them, on September the 11th, being briefed at the military base.
Yeah.
And then you have the Israelis. This Israeli center, this is Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter how embarrassed you are to talk about it. You talk about it. There were no Israeli regulars there. The executives, the bankers, the money changers. There were no Mossad agents there in the building.
Yeah.
There were no Israeli security guards with their guns there. None of them. All gone.
Yeah.
There was Zim Moving there. Zim Moving was a huge conglomerate. The Israeli National Shipping, whatever it is. And they vacated the building, fully vacated it, 1 week prior to the bombing.
Yeah, isn't that nice, eh? Yeah.
And they left everybody else to die.
Yeah.
They're cremated.
Well, a lot of people got telephone calls that morning from the Israeli telephone company warning them not to be in at work that day.
Odigo message service warned them up to 2 hours before the bomb blast.
Yeah, it's like all the evidence is there. It's like people just got to wake up and put it all together. All fits together.
In Japan, the Israeli Goldman Sachs, the Japanese were issued a memo in writing that still exists somewhere, but that was issued so that they would not go or fly to the World Trade Center or any American high-rise at that time. Now, did the CIA workers get any warning? Did the FBI, remember Mr. O'Neill, former FBI chief, died in the carnage, or was murdered perhaps?
Oh, yeah. He was someone who had questions about some of the investigations, wasn't it?
He was probably on the verge of cracking a Mossad connection to a potential terror attack on America.
Oh, yeah.
He was then hired by the Zionists, hired away from his FBI job, and conveniently turned up dead on September the 11th around Building 7.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, then you have, did any of the Christian workers get warned? Did the common Jews, that you know, like some of the EMTs or doctors, get warned? No. Did the Muslims get any warning? Absolutely not. Every Muslim that was in there either died or escaped by the skin off his neck. Did the Bangladeshis, Saudis, Pakistanis, Hindus, Brits and Canadians get any warning? No. Only the Israelis got warning. Now, if that doesn't tell you who did it, I don't know what would, but it doesn't really matter to me what would or wouldn't.
Evidence is all there. The evidence is all there, the problem is that they have control of the government, the police, the intelligence agencies. It's unbelievable what's happened. It's wilder than any novel.
It is wild.
It's unbelievable. It's wild, you know?
It is kind of wild, isn't it? Even that we're having this conversation seems odd.
It's amazing that there's still that freedom of speech and that they allow this, you know, as they have far.
It seems exceedingly odd that we're able to tell the police who murdered their colleagues and the firemen who killed, you know, who buried their men and blistered them and blew them to smithereens. We're able to tell that here on our little radio show here.
I mean, and we just got
to. Are you able to do anything about it, people? You know?
We got to pray that these people turn around and say no to the insanity and turn the whole thing around and obey their oaths of office. And
I mean, how many people were murdered because of the dust, the asbestosis? I'm a physician, man. I find it to be an absolute atrocity that you would put at risk not only the people you murdered, but the whole of New York City. I mean, it's a Jewish center. Why aren't the Jews throwing these criminals out into the ocean?
Yeah.
If there's a legitimate Jewry, you see?
Yeah. For the Jewish people. These people don't care for the Jewish people. You know, they don't.
They don't care about anybody.
No.
But their own greedy little lusts. They ruin the health of New Yorkers. I mean, I'd like to hear from some New Yorkers that are suffering in insufferable pain because of this miserable disaster.
It's so like what, people are so traumatized. They're in a state of shock, and it's like learned helplessness. It's like the world has gone insane. Your government's gone insane, and no one can do anything. So everybody kind of retreats in fear.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And then you've got the issue of the phony World Trade Center strikes.
Yeah.
What an issue that is. I think probably the most fascinating thing is to compare what you've guided me to this, Rever.com video, which is of Ma and Pa sitting in their apartment. The miserable, thing blows up. And Ma and Pa have a real video camera on this thing, right?
Yeah.
There's no Photoshop going on. There's no computer adulteration. There's no Mossad agents taking it and then going and messing with it. It's just a real thing now. Now, you compare that to everything, and you won't believe what you're going to understand.
What's funny, is that the clip that you sent me the link for?
Yeah, it's
funny because that's very odd because they have the camera on the first burning tower, the North Tower, and then all of a sudden there's editing or a piece out, and all of a sudden the second tower's been hit, but it shows no airplane coming into it.
That's right.
But it jumps. That somehow in there they jump, and all of a sudden then the second tower's been hit.
I think that's fraudulent,
that tape. I think they've edited it out.
Well, you can look into it, but somebody said something about the dust was starting to come in. I don't know if it's true or not, but what's interesting about that is there isn't a plane, first of all.
No.
But look how clear, even if there's somebody got a hold of it and corrupted it, but what isn't corrupt is, you know, the camera's moving because the person's holding it on their shoulder, right, or in their hands.
Yeah.
So it's actually an actual home video. That's the point. Now, what's interesting is that you see how clear the World Trade Center beams are? You can see some distinct form to the building. You also notice that the first thing she says is, "I heard a big explosion." See, this is what's important in this particular film. Whether they messed with it as, you know, before putting it up on the internet is another thing. But what's important is she says, "I heard an explosion." But now you start to look at the human psyche. There's somebody else, I thought there was a plane or something. You mean there's
someone
a plane
in the background?
Is a plane?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe I heard something. But what she said definitively is, it was just an explosion. Now that's a very important, just an explosion.
Yeah.
Then the people start coming in saying, because they're influenced by television, by what somebody else said, well, I thought it was a plane.
Yeah.
So eyewitness doesn't, you know, when we give a survey, when I do a marketing survey, I never ask people, what do you think about this label or what do you think about this ad? Because you know what they're going to do invariably? They're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. Instead, I'll just lay it in front of them and say, see that, look, and see if I can get elicits a spontaneous response.
Yeah.
And so it's an eyewitness account is virtually useless. What is, unless you sense a very sincere, spontaneous, witness. You know, if you use psychology, you know that. You can see it.
Well, I mean, even on that September Clues series, it shows you that all the eyewitnesses were all CBC and NBC producers.
Sure.
And TV personalities.
And perhaps the one exception is Kenny Johannesson.
Yeah, there was one exception.
And he wasn't in the system. You have to find him outside of the system. But he said, the TV anchor was trying to coerce him into saying it was a jet.
Oh yeah.
Johannesson
said that.
No, it was a big explosion.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But did you see it? Did you see the jet? Oh yeah, it was a big explosion. He never once said he saw the jet. Then they tried to coerce him a second time. He kept saying, and then the other one 10 minutes later, yeah, I was involved with that. Yeah, I saw that. He didn't say he saw the jet.
Yeah.
He said, then there was another big explosion. It was just an explosion that occurred in the South Tower. So, you know,
people don't realize that they have to grasp the fact that the media actually helps in the staging of these events. They're scripted ahead of time, and they help. And then they get their timing, and they're all ready, and they got their witnesses in place, people to come in and start. When they create the uncertainty and the fearfulness, and then they come in, start providing, like, shaping your mind.
Yes.
You know, they were telling Osama bin Laden within half hour of the first airplane attack. You know, they had it all ready. They were scripted.
They had it on the video read on the bottom. And here this guy, Kenny Johannesson, says, no, it was an explosion. And the same with the lady with that reverb thing. Because you have to use your psychology on that. You can't just listen to what they say. You have to listen to step by step. She starts out by saying it was just an explosion. That's all it was. I heard an explosion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, and she didn't, you know what the key there is? She didn't say, I heard a jet airliner, because she was very close. They weren't far from that building. She didn't hear, she said, I heard the screaming of a jet, and then I heard an explosion. And the same with Kenny Johannesson. So, here's my point. Actual ma and pa witnesses, there are two here. There's the people that did this video. They're ma and pa. You can tell that they're not a plant, okay? Then you have
It was funny. I wasn't sure of that. I thought the lady in the background was a plant, giving her hints as to what had happened.
Well,
and
this is human
the
nature.
Fellow was on the telephone.
This could be, but the woman that was running the video camera wasn't a phony. She was a real ma and pa. But you're right. The other person could be a plant, or it could be the human nature. Human nature starting to work in. Well, but wasn't it a plane? You know, because then you want to be the one that's wise. You want to be the one that knows,
they implant the suggestion, and people
that's
are very
right.
open
well,
to suggestion.
Oh, yeah, it was a plane. I think. Well, I saw the one guy said he saw what he thought was a seagull, and then, the building exploded. Well, then maybe that was actually a plane. But then what he said was the building exploded. You see, that's the key. Now, why is that a key? Because if you start to look at those videos that you've got me going more and more into, and you see that a lot of the material is blown out, a lot of the aluminum facade, it's not blown in, it's broken out at a 20 or 30 degree angle. You start to see that you see that there are charges. When you really analyze closely, and when you take the plane out, you start to see those puff charges going out.
Yeah, the squibs,
yeah.
Which you see in the building demolitions.
If you take the plane out of the video, assuming that, let's just make the assumption, we know that Shanksville was a phony, we know the Pentagon was a phony, let's make the assumption that the other two could be phonies.
Yeah.
We know that the suicide note from was a phony. We know that the 19 hijackers is a phony. So why not here? And if you take the plane out, you see the squibs popping out from the face of the facade of the building out. Now, how is that going to happen? You got a plane going in people, not out. So it just starts to accumulate. You know?
Yeah, no, I believe it was faked. I don't believe that there was real airplanes that flew into those buildings. I think there may have been something else. I mean, another thing, some of the other videos, one shows it kind of having a sharp descent and banking and going in.
Impossible.
And then another video shows it flying a perfectly parallel course before it hits the building.
Right.
I mean, there are even inconsistencies. It's like different studios had different plane images they used to doctor their news.
Right, and you have that one, like you said, where it just almost takes a vertical drop, some kind of a weird image that just sort of descends down and then goes horizontal and looks like it's going into the building.
Yeah.
Now, New Yorkers, those of you who can say that you physically followed a plane, hey, everybody's open to this because 3,000 people were murdered, but you got to explain some other things, like how they could phony that nose cone all the way through the other side of the building. So you got to not just tell us A, B, and C. You got to look on the internet and see what the networks were doing, and explain how that could happen.
We know we're being lied to. I mean, it's like if BBC was reporting the falling of Building Number 7 15 minutes before it occurred, and it was still completely standing in behind the news reporter. You see, she's scripted, but they got their timing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is like a complete fraud. The people have to realize that the corporate news is like a soap opera. It's a complete fraud.
That's true.
And they're paid to do this and cover up the crimes of
now,
the
that
police.
Brings
That's
up the important. That brings up the important issue of the complicity of the owners of CNN and CBS and NBC in the criminal acts.
Because they are all guilty in their way. I mean, I feel sorry for many people who get caught in something that they're stuck and blackmailed and intimidated and all these things. But it's true. I mean, these people, everybody just does their job, you know. But look at what those news people are doing. They're deceiving their own country people.
Yeah,
as
true.
To these terrible, terrible criminal things that have been done to America. And they're deceiving their own country about what's happening in America now.
Sure.
The kind of fascism that's taken over the country.
And using that to put the Patriot Act through, which... I got a question. How could you produce the Patriot Act in about 5 hours? That thing's, what, about 700 pages? That would take years and years and years to produce.
Yeah, they
and then all of a sudden
a
it's on.
Time.
Yeah, it's on each congressman and senator's desk within what a few hours of the bomb blasts. So if since the Patriot Act is a fake, then and also the faking of, like you mentioned, the Quran found in the car at Dulles or wherever airport.
And left in the bar, the strip club.
Yep,
in Florida.
So somebody was out putting all that fake evidence out there, and then you have that suicide note, which caused everybody to think that Muslims are barbarians. That's faked. And,
it's overwhelming evidence. There's absolutely nothing that stands the test of time around 9/11. The whole thing is a complete fraud, completely. You know, there's overwhelming criminal evidence. If there was any half sane judge anywhere in the world, you could prove it. Like, the evidence is there.
Sure.
You know, there's tons of physical evidence. There's hundreds of eyewitnesses. All the firemen and the police said there were bombs in the building. It was on the radios, the radio recordings of it. You know, you see the evidence.
You could hear those bombs. That's what the New Yorkers need to do, is come forward and share with us about those bombs, that they heard those big cracks going off and they felt the shaking of the earth. And there was also some truck bombs, that were blown up. There's a lot of very powerful evidence that you're bringing up that needs to be edified. We need the people who were involved, who witnessed it, who dealt with it on the radio transmission, if you're still alive, you need to come forward. There was a bomb in a panel truck that was on between 6th and 7th Street on King Street in New York that was detonated, you know? And that had a mural on it, and the mural showed a 767 or a big jetliner smashing into New York City as a terrorist attack. That was to create indignation so that people could see that, you know? Now that blew up, but who remembers it? I know you were traumatized, but still, who dealt with that? And then they arrested the two guys and beat them up.
Yeah.
Who are those two guys?
Yeah.
They were Israeli agents. Wow. Nothing was done to them. Now, there was a bomb put underneath in another panel truck, the World Trade Center, and detonated. Okay? Those are pieces of evidence that never surfaced in the mass media, no, to any degree.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's like the, how much evidence do you want? Like, there's such a huge volume of evidence supporting the fact it was an inside job. There's overwhelming mass of evidence, not only from the day of the attacks, but all the cover-up all the way through. It's staring us in the face.
It is staggering, isn't it?
It's like, you know, we don't need more evidence. We need someone who wants to kind of live up to their oaths of office and begin to arrest these criminals
who are doing these
things.
No, it's
because
true.
These people are still in power. They're murdering Americans now. They're murdering you with your chemtrails.
There's no doubt. And of course, the young kids that are being urged to go into these wars. But one of the interesting things, back to the plane strikes and so on, is can you imagine that there have to be people that know of these particular videos being fabricated?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, they're in the studios there. They all probably got promotions, their own TV series.
Yeah, and some of them might have been dupes, but, you know, you've got all those people out there that are part of this. You have people in the major networks that were sort of planning out how are we going to get that plane to look like it's going in at the same time. Let's get that broadcast ready. So you've got all these people that bold-faced were willing to murder the 3,000 in the World Trade Center, and they're still, like you said, walking the streets.
Yeah.
They're still earning their... And did you also see that interesting video clip where some guy looks up at the sky, and it's almost like kind of phony? You know, it shows the plane, I think, going into World Trade Center, the North Tower, and all of a sudden his head goes way up when the explosion occurs.
Oh, the clip done by the French filmmakers who the only shot supposedly of the first tower.
Yeah,
is that the one you mean?
Yeah, one.
His camera goes down and then it just comes up at the right time.
It's exact right time.
Yeah.
And then the guy looks kind of phony, because if that kind of a Boeing was in that corridor in between buildings, he would have reacted to the noise. But his reaction is timed only to the aftermath of the explosive charge. He doesn't react to the existence of what appears to be a plane in the video. And the other thing that's interesting is there's this, and I don't know anything about much about the physics of it, but on the screen it shows a plane on a television monitor that he has. He's got a television monitor and what looks like some kind of a radio device. And I mean, I don't think it hurts for people who know that kind of stuff to say, hey, this is what it is, because you can see the reflection of this plane-appearing object on this television screen before it strikes the building.
Wow.
You know? So what's the guy doing? He's got some kind of a device held in his hand. You know, these are the kinds of things that just add to the information stream. Who is he? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, there's so many mysteries. There's so many unsolved questions, you know, but the evidence is overwhelming. You know, I wish it were Muslim terrorists. It would have been much simpler.
It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
It would have been, because you identify who they are, you know where they live, but the whole thing's a fraud. And,
yeah.
And people don't realize these people now control our countries.
Yep, that's right.
It's horrifying. People don't, it's horrifying. How have we let this happen? It's a moral degeneration of a nation. You know, the nations of the world. And, I mean, our only hope is the truth is coming out around the world and people are beginning to put it together.
Well, I think you've got a big one here with this plane thing, you know, Christopher, that if you can keep the movement going on, the fact that there weren't any planes striking those two World Trade Centers, that's going to create at least people's attention. The attention is fine if they say you're a phony, you're a fraud, you're a conspiracy theorist. That's still attention. But you can prove it.
Yeah. What I usually say is that people believe Osama bin Laden and his reindeer brought down the two towers.
Yeah.
Because I think that's it's a fable. It's a whole, it's his reindeer, you know.
You know, and it's interesting that Mr. bin Laden, within 24 hours, said that, look, I don't find it an appreciable act to kill innocents. But the United States and Britain and the other regimes come to our countries.
I thought he said the Zionist group. I thought he said that.
Yeah, he did, but he also mentioned America, because America puts the troops on the ground.
Yeah.
But he did. He emphasized the Zionist world order, because he said it differently than you and I just did. He said a secret government, government with this was September the 12th that he made this announcement, maybe 11th, right in there. He said he was the first person to say that the American people should know. He was merciful to the American people. So actually, the Taliban made an announcement saying, we show solidarity with the American people. We've been there before. We wish that they get justice. We hope that their system brings the perpetrators to justice. That was the Taliban. Now, bin Laden said that, look, Americans, you have a government within a government. It's a secret group, and they're the ones behind 9/11. Now, that was pretty sharp.
Yeah.
So
it's just so terrible.
Why have we made bin Laden the enemy? You know, is it because he has a beard but if you look at his face, he has very large lips, he has broad eyes. I mean, he looks like a very merciful person. But instead, all we see through our eyes is this hate. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell people, I said, where's your evidence that he's a of what you're saying? Then they shut down.
Yeah, they do. People have been so thoroughly brainwashed, and they can't conceive their own government would do it. Like, they've got so much invested, they can't face it. People can't psychologically face it, that no, your government has lied to you, your government's part of this, and there's worse to come. Like, there's worse to come. We're in a very perilous time.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But you have now a wonderful thing to add to the repertoire of bringing this to justice. And I don't have any confidence in the system, like the judiciary or anything. But you have a lot of fun to have with this in many ways, because you have people that can be easily convinced that the World Trade Centers actually were blown up by some kind of device at those higher levels, in those higher floors, not by an airplane. And, that's quite an interesting journey to make. And then the second part of that journey is that you already have the demolition charges going off in the basement at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So
even before the first plane. Reported by an eyewitness who was there in the basement, Willie Rodriguez. And someone came out from the sub-basements, and they had their arms all, the skin just burnt right off their arms, and suffered these major injuries in the basements before the plane even hit above.
Kenny Johannesson confirms what you said. He said he also drug another person out that had their flesh hanging off their arms. Probably the same person that he and Rodriguez helped out of there.
Yeah.
And that was around, what, 10 or at least 10 minutes before the upper level blast.
See, it for me a bit, it's like the evidence is all there. It's almost like I still think it's good to bring out more and more evidence, but it's like it's all there. You know, we got to do more now than try to bring out evidences. The evidence is all there for someone who wants to apprehend it. You know,
that's true. But you see, the problem is you're absolutely right. The only challenge in this system is there's no justice.
No.
So you have to have overwhelming power to even get, if anybody thinks they're going to change the system through the judges, you had better have such an overwhelming thing that you're going to embarrass them. That's the only justice you're going to get out of it, is to make such a mockery of the system and then expose the mockery. But you're absolutely right. The only kind of a revolution that will change this is a revolution.
You know, if these people could ever bring justice, it would bring about a whole new century for America. And for all the countries of the world, it would bring about a... See, these people have been doing these things through all of modern history and deceiving us all the time about all these different terrorist things. Oklahoma City bombing,
sure.
The Vietnam War. We're always being fed lies. And if these people were ever brought to justice, all their assets should be seized around the world as the proceeds of terrorist and criminal activity.
The first thing you should do is restore the
wealth of the world to the population. You would pay off the debt of the United States. You would pay off the debt of every country on earth. And you would have such abundance and wealth in the world. And you could bring out all these new inventions that they've suppressed. You would change your world.
I love it. No, I love it.
You could have real health care. You could, you know, you get rid of all these poisons in our food and all these criminal pharmaceutical drugs that are put out there inadequately tested, and then they cover up all the test results. And it's terrible.
Oh, absolutely.
Pharmaceutical mafia. And anything that can cure cancer and help, they want
to
get rid of it. They want to ban it.
Yeah. They won't even let you breathe anything about natural medicine now. You take the money that has been stolen from this country and stuck into the Zionist entity, and then from there used to, you know, terrorize us. And like you said, you take all the money from the criminals in New York City who were behind 9/11. You'd have quite a fund to rebuild the country.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, you'd pay off the debt of the nation. There's absolutely no reason for the United States to have some massive depression. You just arrest the criminals for this, take their funds, and you would have such wealth in the United States, you know, and you could pay for your war crimes against the Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah.
All the media should be seized by the government.
Definitely.
And then sold off to individuals who want real news media.
Definitely.
You know, they're all complicit.
They are all complicit.
Yeah.
They're actually orchestrators.
All their assets around the world, and you'd have a new age, a really
Absolutely.
New age. You know, bring out all these new inventions and things that they've suppressed. There's no need for oil. The early cars all ran on alcohol, which can be produced through organic, biodegradable organic things around the country.
And peanut oil was used by Ford, I think, before he used gasoline.
Oh, all the early cars were mainly alcohol until the oil cartel got going, and then they repressed all the alcohol cars, and then they took out of circulation all the books explaining the use of alcohol. There's
Incredible.
No need for gasoline. We
Incredible.
Don't need
it. Incredible.
The whole thing's a fraud.
It really is. And see, the wrong people, like you said from the beginning, are holding the power. These are the corrupt people that compared to terribly spoiled children.
Yeah.
And that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with modern-day brats.
They're degenerates. There's something in their psyche that's severely degenerated. I'm a forensic psychologist. Eh?
Oh, okay.
I worked in prisons for 12 years. And if you ask me how many psychopaths I met in 12 years of working in corrections, I would count them on a hand. There are so few. Mainly they're just kids and men from disadvantaged background and drug alcohol problems and minor things. Most of the criminals in the corrections, They're not psychopaths at all. The real psychopaths are the scum that rose to the top.
Yes, it's true.
Those are the psychopaths. Those are the criminal element in our society. Not all these poor men being arrested for marijuana. You got 1.4 million people in jail for marijuana.
Incredible.
It's become an industry run by these same people.
It's incredible. You know, if you steal a television, you're clamped down, but you can pulverize human beings into nanoparticles and walk the streets of New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
be a mass murderer like Henry Kissinger and win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah,
I think, how many
we've estimated Kissinger at about 35 million to 50 million. His hands are in that much blood.
I would think so, yeah. So they're seven times over the amount of Jews claimed to have been murdered in the Holocaust.
He is
implicated in seven times as many murders.
Yeah.
So it's like the Jewish people say never forget. Like, I think they forgot. You know,
I don't even think they know.
No, they don't. It's not a Jewish thing. It's a Zionist, and the Jewish people have been just as deceived as other people.
Well, they blew their own people up in the World Trade Center. They blew their own people up in the King David Hotel. So
yeah,
that's why I definitely agree with you. I'm calling on all the people to rise up against this criminal cartel. You know what? You're right about the psychopathology. They make it appear that the abnormal or the criminal is the normal, like Madoff. I got friends in high places. Okay, you know, I'm just going to thumb my nose at all of you, you stupid goyim. And then he starts buying jade and diamonds and with what little money of the people's money is left. Super criminal. But then they make it look like normal people like us are abnormal. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's going on. That's how distorted it's become.
Yeah, I like that quote from J. Edgar Hoover, and he said, the problem for most people is that you're facing a conspiracy so monstrous that you cannot believe it exists.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his exact...
Phrase.
Like, and that's what it is. It's so beyond. People have been told so many lies through the media over the years. They have no real understanding of human history. And these people have infiltrated the educational system, taken over medicine, psychiatry, pharmaceuticals. They've infiltrated the whole society like a spider. They've woven this web of deceit through our
society. A handful of people have undermined the hope for the human race.
Yeah, they have. They have. And they've prevented human evolution because they themselves are interested in occult sciences, but they've held those away from people.
I mean, if there isn't a rebellion amongst the hearts now, you know, and obviously people say, well, then how do we take action? What do we do about it? You know, from your heart, you have to condemn it. And if your heart doesn't understand it, then it's time to do something to bring some sense to yourselves.
Gurdjieff says what people need as like in the process of awakening is the remorse of conscience, and this has to do with the awakening of the heart. The first thing is like the remorse of conscience. Like, we look, what has America done? We've been responsible for the murder of 1.4 million people.
Yes.
You know, like,
just
in
modern history.
Any conscience? Like, are people, you know, where are Christians? Christian churches, there's no church anymore. It's a false church.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
And to even think of sending even maybe a relative that's thinking about going military without at least informing them, that without saying, son, these people overseas, you have guns, you're trained, you know, you might be killing an innocent person. That's a crime. Do you think any parent sits down with their military people? Oh, no, they're proud of their son.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for the military people being so deceived like that. And these people go over there and they take part in this and they know in their hearts.
Then afterwards
wrong.
They come back and they're sick.
Yeah, they lose more soldiers through suicide afterwards than in the war, because all these men and women know they've done horrendous things and they can't live with it. They
commit don't see
suicide.
Kissinger. You don't see Kissinger sweating any bricks.
He's evil personified.
You know, and you have your sons and daughters. Those of you who can pass this cassette to this DVD or this CD to others. That your sons and daughters would never die for the United States. They are not sacrificing to protect the country.
No, it's not in the service of the United States of America. Like the country is you're not going to have a country for long unless all of us we're going to lose our sovereignty and be part of this new world psychiatric disorder, as
yeah.
I like to call it.
Yeah, sure.
These people are severely psychiatrically disturbed.
Those are the people who you're serving when you go fight. You're talking about people that, now for example, Kissinger was far more of an orchestrator of Vietnam than Kennedy. Kennedy and Nixon were also RANs. But Kissinger, you know, who he reports directly to, is the French Zionist cartel. He reports to Rothschild.
Yeah.
That's who he is the agent for. So Kissinger was the orchestrator of Vietnam and Cambodia. The likes of Kissinger orchestrated Iraq. Not George Bush. Not even Cheney. They are the bottom feeders who, you know, take whatever's left. So that's what, I don't know if America can understand that, but like you said, if it's not coming from the heart, if it's not coming from the conscience.
We as a nation, it's like we have to regain our sanity again. And I experience remorse of conscience for the crimes of our government and the criminal things that, like, we've lost all control of our countries, you know?
That's true.
They're not democracies. They're psychopathocracies.
They are.
Countries run by psychopaths, you know?
And to think, my friend, that you could have a faux terror attack with faux planes. We know for sure that the buildings were demolished.
Yeah.
We then kill our own people, or the people who conquered America kill the people. They kill even some of their business associates, you know, that they know and they shake hands with and they've had breakfast with, although the higher-level ones all escape.
Yeah.
Then
they have war warning.
Then we have probably 200 million Americans that have not come to grips with their heart, that if you talk to them today, they think that the attack on the people of Gaza, they might even think that the attack in Iraq is justified, though they don't agree with it, because somehow in their minds, they've fallen for this idea that the Muslims attacked the United States. I find that to be so unconscionable, so ridiculous. It's false. And that still, most people, they don't know it.
I had one question. On one occasion, I happened to get an email which was supposed to be being sent to some of the corporate elites, and someone sent me a copy of it. And it said in that email, it said, why the date of September 11th? And it said that historically, the date of September 11th was when the Christian world beat the Muslims in the city of Genoa and kind of beat back the Muslims from Europe. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I'm sure it's probably true, but I didn't know that.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I just throw that out there. I notice we're coming down to time, and just wanted to say one final thing. We didn't get to talk about the heart in the Muslim tradition, and I hope I'm going to be able to get you back, Dr. K, maybe next month sometime, and have you back again. We filled 2 hours quite easily.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Go ahead.
And we didn't talk about the heart in Muslim tradition, but I would like to point out that in Christianity, Muslim, and in the Judaic religion, in all of the religious traditions, this God is known through the heart.
Right.
And that is where our spirit and soul is connected to the heart. So all of us people of different religious persuasions, We have to come together.
That's right.
Problem isn't between Christians and Muslims and Jews. That's not what the problem is. The problem is between those who want to live upright of heart, who have compassion and feeling for other human beings, versus those who are so greedy and obsessed with power and control and sexual perversion that they've taken over our countries.
Yes.
And so it's we of good heart.
Yes. The Islam is talking about that if you really have deep belief, it's in your heart. And ultimately, regardless of your denomination, if you have God in your heart, you have nothing to fear. Now, that's a Quran little statement. You have no worries. You have no remorse. You don't have to think about your past. If you have him in your heart and you truly believe and you do all that you can, then that's pure belief. If it's, like you said, if we focus too much on the mind, we may miss the boat on this thing.
That's what's happened with these elites. These people are delusional. They have this whole pseudo-intellectual philosopher of these, like Bertrand Russell and Huxley and all these pseudo-intellectual frauds. And that's been part of their teaching. They're following a completely false teaching. They really are.
It is a false teaching because it's based on, you know, the limited ability of a mortal. When you take the teachings of Jesus Christ, who was so powerful in just simple statements, this whole statement about you're not a true believer until you, in so many words, until you want people to treat you as you want to have yourself treated. Now, that one thing, you could spend a year thinking about that, what that means.
Yeah.
And you still wouldn't get it all. You know, the Prophet Muhammad said the same thing. He said, you'll never really be the true believing until you want for others what you want for yourself, until you act to others as you would want them to be to you.
Well, it's funny. I look on TV and I see those little Palestinian kids and it breaks my heart because I feel like they're like my kids. It's like our children are being murdered over there.
Same.
This monstrous war machine devouring like such a helpless...
And devouring them for their land, for their gas rights offshore.
Unbelievable cruelty. These people, these elites have something so wicked in their hearts, it's beyond the comprehension.
And that devil will not win in the end.
No.
This goodness will conquer it all, and the devil's plot is weak people, it's feeble.
Yeah.
And that's why I urge you, definitely, do share with others the truth about what happened.
Dr. Kate, do give out your website at
www.knowledgehousepublishers.com, knowledgehousepublishers.com.
And you have another radio show coming up in 2 days' time. Where is that?
Well, I'll be on
BBS?
Yeah, I'll be on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, and Rick Adams Show from 9 o'clock to 11 Central Standard Time. And I'll be hosting a show. I will be dealing about more of my research on some of the things we talked about, which is no planes or planes. Let's go more into it.
Yeah.
And
thank you so much for being on today. I know we're being called to task here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you
so much.
You're welcome.
We'll be in contact, and
okay.
I hope we can get you back someday, and we'll follow up a little bit more.
We'll talk about the Islamic system.
I would really like to hear more about the Muslim religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, this is Christopher Holmes. I'd like to thank BBS Radio, and we covered a lot today. It's a powerful show. I do encourage people to visit my website at zeropoint.ca. I have some very valuable books here. I'd like to promote my work. I have a PayPal button there if anyone would like to donate to help me continue on in my struggles here. Let's keep heart, people. We have to face this beast upon us. We don't want to become of us what happened in Atlantis, that we, the people, destroyed themselves. Let's stop this madness now and take back our countries from these people. Okay, bless you all. Goodbye.